our study of Exodus and the wanderings in the wilderness. Actually completed the Exodus and before the wandering. We're at Mount Sinai now, and Moses and the Israelites have received the commandments and had some problems immediately after that, but they received them the second time. With emphasis, I should say. And we've looked at some instructions of the commandments and some laws that were given. We've looked at instructions, commandments on how the tabernacle, about the tabernacle and how it was to be built and the furnishings of it and what was to be put out in the courtyard and how it was to be fenced and all that. We've looked at the priests' garments, what they were to wear in administration of their services. And we've looked at different types of sacrifices. A lot of that's out of Exodus. Some of it's out of Leviticus. Leviticus 1 through 7 talks about the sacrifices. It's kind of a guideline on what the sacrifices were, kind of a breakdown of them. There's more information in other passages about the sacrifices, and we'll look at some of those later on. So that's been done. Today, we're going to look at how the tabernacle is to be set up, the initial time, consecration of Aaron and his sons as priests, how the worship is set in order, and Passover being celebrated. First thing in Exodus 38:21-31, there's some references to the metal that was used. Remember, this metal was loot, so to speak, that the Egyptians gave them. And as we can see from this slide, they got a lot of loot. And this is what was used in building the tabernacle and the ornamentation and the furnishings of it. And this is voluntarily given by the Israelites for the building of the tabernacle, free will offering. And the gold that was given, it probably has in your scriptures the shekels or whatever, I'm not sure, but did the conversion. I looked at some references to the conversions. So there's about 1 metric ton of gold, which is over our ton. And I just calculated out at yesterday's gold prices per ounce. So it'd be 35,274 ounces at $1,280 an ounce right now is gold. That's pretty high. That figure's $45,150,720 worth of gold used in the tabernacle in today's dollars. Silver that was used, 3.4 metric tons, a lot more silver. It was collected from the half shekel tax they were to offer. That was from 603,550 men. It gives a number in numbers. 20 plus years old. So that was used in ornamentation for some of the poles set in silver sockets to hold the poles. I think one instance of that, they said that one of those would weigh about 75 pounds each. Bronze, 2.4 metric tons of bronze that was used in some of the, I think some of the fence sockets on the outside. After this, chapter 39, verses 32-43, the Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. So the Israelites were real good, to do exactly as they were told this time. If you remember in the history, they probably wanted to. Everything was brought to Moses for inspection, so everything that was being made was brought to Moses. It passed his inspection exactly as the Lord wanted, so he blessed the people. So this is significant. They've had problems with sin in the past, but in this instance, all these rules and regulations that God gave them, they followed to the T and did exactly as they were supposed to. And Moses gives them credit for that and blesses them. So they've done well. In chapter 40 of Exodus, 1 through 38, we look at how the initial setup of the tabernacle. It's going to be set up on the first day of the first month, Remember, that was the time when they started their new year back in Egypt. So this is first year of the first month of the second year. Okay. So the first thing they'll bring in is the Ark of the Testimony or Ark of the Covenant. That has the tablets in it with the commandments on it. So they bring that in. The next thing they bring is the curtain for the most holy place. So here we have the tabernacle erected. They, of course, built, put the pillars up, put the coverings on top. So all this is built with all the different coverings ready to be loaded up, so to speak. First thing they'll bring in is the Ark of the Covenant. So they've just built this thing, and they carry it in here. Now, remember, this is set up without the fence around it. So this tabernacle is built out in the open, so everybody can see what's going on. Okay, so the Ark of the Covenant's carried in. Now, for most of the people there, this is the last time that they will see that. Because even when they move it, they'll take down the curtain. The high priest will, and will carry it and cover up the ark before it's moved. So this is a lot of these people's last vision of the Ark of the Covenant. They'll know it's there. It'll be obvious that it's there. So they put up the curtain, so it's veiled. They bring in the table of showbread and all the contents, all the plates and I don't know what all carried with it, but they had utensils that went with that, so that's brought in. They bring in the lampstand and light the lamp, set up the lamp so they're burning. They bring in the gold altar of incense, and they set up the entrance curtain. Now, this is the entrance to the whole tabernacle itself. So, show bread, they set up the lamps, the altar of incense, which is in front of the veil, in front of the most holy place, and there's just a cutaway of what all is. Of course, these are artist representations of what all's in there. Hard to see, but Ark of the Covenant, the veil, versus showbread was brought in, table showbread brought in, put on the right, and then the candle brought in, put on the left, lamps lit, and then the altar of incense set in front of the curtain. Okay? Just kind of go through and remind you of that. Next, they'll bring in the altar of burnt offering. This is out in the courtyard. The basin or laver, and I add water to that. And they'll set up the courtyard fence. And then they'll set up the curtain where you can enter the courtyard. So there's a altar, a burnt incense, a burnt offering, horns on it, a laver. Of course, these are just guesses what it looks like. They set up this white tent. So 7.5 foot tall, y'all remember, and then this entrance gate, so to speak, curtain. It's multicolored. I think it's got the blue, scarlet, and purple also. So that's set up at the entrance. So everything gets set up. Let me get that on my notes. The next thing to do are the priests to be anointed, verses 12 through 15. Moses is told to bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tabernacle, wash and dress with sacred garments, and anoint and consecrate Aaron to serve as priests, and to bring his sons and dress them in tunics and anoint as their father to serve as priests. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but here's where the instruction is given to Moses what they need to do. You'll notice in the latter part of chapter 40, the statement, as the Lord commanded. And it kind of goes through how everything was set up. And you'll see this, as the Lord commanded, over and over in chapter 16, 19, 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, and 32. They were following a lot, God's commands exactly. And that was just something to be noted. How important it was that they were doing what they needed to do. So it's kind of exacting. We need to think about being more exact in our worship and do what the Lord wants us to do. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the lesson too. So when that was done, all was set up and glory filled the tabernacle. A cloud, and we've talked about the cloud leading the people, but the cloud came down, apparently bigger than just what was led, because it fills the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle also. Moses is not able to go in while that is going on. So this is just the cloud. Of course, this is when it's during the day, so obviously this service was during the day, but it would be bigger than this, I would think, this representation. It would totally fill the tabernacle, and Moses wouldn't be able to go in. So that's why I put that picture there. And then if y'all remember at night, it would be the fire. And while the tabernacle was set up, y'all recall, this cloud and this fire, depending on day or night, stayed over the mercy seat. And when it lifted from the tabernacle, then the Israelites were ready to move on. Okay? All right. If y'all recall, in the last lesson, we looked at Leviticus 1 through 7 and looked at the sacrifices and the priest role. So that's where all the sacrifices are called for, that I was talking about. The anointing of the tabernacle and altar of burnt offering was done in connection with the consecration of Aaron and his sons. They were offered 2 1-year-old lambs every day, morning and evening, for the congregation with grain and drink offering. That's what it says there in chapter 40, verse, that reference. People gather for the consecration, Leviticus 8, 1 through 5. The consecration ceremony is going to last 7 days, and on the 8th day, final sacrifices will be offered. Moses will officiate for the 7 days, and on the 8th day, Aaron and his sons will start taking care of the sacrifices and work at the tabernacle from there forward. Moses assembles Aaron and his sons, the term, anointing oil, bullock for sin offering, 2 rams, basket of unleavened bread, and all to assemble at the entrance. So, calling all the people. Bathed, dressed, and anointed. This is covered in Leviticus 8, 6 through 13, Exodus 29, 1 through 9. Moses, now this is in front of the crowd. Moses will bathe Aaron and his sons, dress Aaron in the special garments we talked about last class, including the ephod, or ephod, with the breastplate and the Urim and Thummim. Hope y'all remember what we discussed about that. The turban with the Holy to Jehovah inscribed on the top. And if y'all remember in Tim's lesson, there's the ephod and the breastplate that I was just talking about. This is what he wear, and I won't go through the details of all that, and his turban. That was for the high priest, and this was the regular priest would wear plain white with a colored waistband. Remind you what that looked like. So Aaron's head was anointed. His oil was poured directly on his head to sanctify him. Aaron's sons are brought forward. Let me see. Excuse me, I jumped ahead on my notes. Moses takes a special anointing oil and applies it to the tabernacle and to all the furniture that's inside. Then he takes them outside, remember the altar of the burnt offering out there in the courtyard, and he'll anoint it 7 times with oil. And then he'll anoint the laver with its base, the laver of water with its base. So anointing, special anointing oil we talked about earlier, how it was made, could only be used for holy purposes, did all this anointing. Aaron is anointed with oil poured over his head. His sons are brought forward. They're clothed in their white tunics and colored sashes and white caps. And they're anointed, but probably, don't know for sure, but the high priest was to be anointed with oil poured on his head. The other priests were, maybe had oil smeared on their head. So it would be a different way. It doesn't tell us, but it wouldn't be the same. They're offer a bullock. These are the special sacrifices for the priest. Jim talked about how a special sacrifice for the priest were to be made. They're offer a bullock for sin. Aaron and his sons lay their hands on the head of the bullock. Moses kills the bullock. The blood smeared on the altar of incense horn, so that's inside the holy place. And the rest is poured on the altar of burnt offering outside in the courtyard. The organs are burned on the altar as required, and the rest of the bullock, the flesh and the skin and the bones, are carried outside the camp to be burned, just as the Lord told them to. They offer a ram for burnt offering. Remember, there's two rams to be called for. One's for a burnt offering. Aaron and his sons lay hands on it. Moses kills the ram. The blood sprinkled around the base of the altar of burnt offering. The organs, the head, the fat are taken. The legs and insides are washed. And the ram's burned on the altar as required. Then they have the ram of consecration, which is a special priest's offering. Aaron and his sons lay their hands on it. Moses kills the ram. The blood from the ram is rubbed on Aaron's right ear, his right thumb, and the big toe of his right foot. And then they do it to his sons also. Blood and anointing oil are sprinkled on Aaron and the sons' garments. So they just got dressed up and they're getting this blood poured on them as part of the sacrifice as God wanted them to. Blood sprinkled around the altar from the ram of consecration. In internal parts, right shoulder, one unleavened cake, one cake of oil bread, and one wafer are placed in Aaron and son's hands for a wave offering, then burned on the altar. And if y'all remember what a wave offering was the priest would offer it out to the Lord, and they could take it back. And that was what the Lord wanted to do, and typically that could be eaten. But in this case, it was offered as a wave offering, but then was put on the fire to be burned in the Lord. So that was a little bit different than your typical wave offering. The right shoulder and the breast of the ram would have been the priest. To eat that, it was holy, so it was to be boiled at the tabernacle door, and with bread left in the basket, they could be eaten there. They'd eat it that day, none the next day. If they had any left over, it had to be burned. Then they're told to offer a bullock, a sin offering, for 7 days. Aaron and his sons are to stay at the tabernacle for these 7 days, and a bull's offered each day. And between the bull being offered, they had to clean up the altar and re-anoint it each day. And we have in Numbers 7, 1 through 89, we see the offering of the princes. We have 12 princes per tribe, and they bring 6 covered wagons with 12 oxen. So we figure 1 covered wagon for 2 tribes and oxen for each tribe. The Gershonites are given 2 wagons and 4 oxen. The Merarites are 4 wagons, given that 4 wagons and 8 oxen, and the Kohathites aren't given none. Now, y'all, these names may be not familiar to everybody. If y'all recall, these were the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. So, they're going to be helping the priests, and they're given these wagons for a purpose to carry stuff. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But the Kohathites weren't given, what they were to carry, was the furniture of the tabernacle, and they would carry that on their shoulders. It was carried by hand, with poles, appropriate poles, and not carried on carts. And that'll play a big part of this Bible story later on. So. So these offerings arrive for 12 days. The first 8 days, coincides with the, priest consecration that's going on. And the offering's the same for each tribe. They offer a large silver platter of fine flour, a silver bowl of fine flour, and a golden spoon or cup of incense, full of incense. Also, they bring burnt offering, a young bull, for burnt offering, a young bull, a ram, and a one-year-old he lamb. For sin offering, they bring a male goat. For peace offerings, they bring two oxen, five rams, five he goats, and 5 1-year-old he lambs. All that's brought by each of the tribes. Leviticus 9, verses 1 through 24, Aaron will begin his work. So we know what's going on for these 7 days. All these offerings are going on. And now it's finally time for Aaron to begin. So Aaron's sons and elders are called by Moses. For Aaron, a bull sin offering and a ram burnt offering without defect are to be offered for Aaron to take on his new task, his new role. For Israel, a he-goat for sin, calf and a lamb for burnt offering, ox and a ram for peace offerings, and a meal offering mixed with oil is brought to be offered for the children of Israel. Aaron takes the bull, the sin offering, and the ram burnt offering, and offered to the Lord as Moses did. So he follows exactly what Moses did to the T, as God would want it, makes the offering. For Israel, Aaron offers the he-goat for sin, a calf and a lamb, burnt offering, the meal offering mixed with oil, and the ox and a ram for peace offering to the Lord, just as Moses did. So he's following the law of the Lord. Aaron lifts his hands and blesses the people at this time, after all doing all these offerings, all these sacrifices. Then Moses and Aaron enter the tabernacle. Of course, it doesn't record what they did in there, but then they come out and bless the people. The glory of the Lord appears to all. So while these burnt offerings are going on, it takes a while for this stuff to burn. But in this case, the glory of the Lord appears, and fire comes forth and consumes the burnt offering immediately. So this wasn't just a flare-up of the fire. This is something special. And of course, the people shout. I don't know if it's from praise, surprise, fear, or what. And they fall on their faces, not literally. That means they prostrate themselves to the ground while this goes on. So God has accepted all they've done. Priestly blessing, number 6, 22-27, is where we, at this time, is where this phrase, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So when you sing song number 670 in your book, you know where that phrase came from and when in the Bible story it occurred. And what it was all about. Which is good because it comes immediately after everybody was doing what they're supposed to do. And we're blessed for it. If only it would last. Death of Nadab and Abihu. This death, this problem will actually occur between the goat or the sin offering in Leviticus 9:15. And the eating of the goat by the priest in Leviticus 10:16-20. So, it's after the consecration, and it says, as normal priest duties were starting. So it's just after the consecration, before the normal priest duties were starting up. Nadab and Abihu, if y'all remember, when this consecration going on, we got one high priest, Aaron. So how many other priests did we have? They were sons of Aaron. Four. Because of this sin, Aaron loses half his health. Not being just the tragedy of his sons being lost, he's lost his health. Half of it. Nadab and Abihu take censers. They put fire in the censers. They add incense and they offer strange fire. This was not commanded by the Lord. They were adding to the worship, to the service that God commanded. That point out what is not commanded is just as bad as something that's specifically forbidden. So we need to remember in our worship service that we not add to what the Lord wants us to do, things that are not commanded. Because it's just as bad as things specifically forbidden. And that's what Nadab and Abihu did. Fire comes out from the present and the Lord consumes them, kills them. Moses says, Aaron, this is what the Lord was talking about. He would be holy. The Lord would be holy and honored before all the people. Aaron doesn't have anything to say. Mishael and Elzaphan, Aaron's cousin, buried Nadab and Abihu outside the camp. Aaron, Eleazar, and Ithamar, his other two sons, were not to show grief but continue the work at the tabernacle. Moses warns them not to drink wine or alcohol but remain holy and able to teach. And we get a lesson for that as today. A Christian is known as a priest. And I see a lesson in this about drinking and using overuse of drugs and things of that nature. The priests are reminded in the scripture about the allowable food from the sacrifice offerings. Moses inquires about the goat of sin offering that had all been burned and not eaten by Eleazar and Ithamar as they were supposed to do. So he raises the question, did you do what you were supposed to do? Aaron answers and says, because of the death of his other sons, the Lord would not have been pleased. So he's not making an excuse. He's saying that it wasn't right because of his grief for him to eat. And the Lord wouldn't have been pleased if he'd done that. Moses is satisfied with that answer. So that's why he didn't eat that. In Leviticus 24, 10 through 16, and then drop down to verse 23 for the end of this story, we hear a little story about a blasphemer. The time of the event is not known. This is done while they're at Sinai, not exactly sure when in the chronology it is. But we need to bring it to our attention and cover it. The son of an Israelite woman, an Egyptian man, gets in a fight with another Egyptian man. The son blasphemes the name Jehovah and curses. Is brought to Moses, this man. He's put in custody and he awaits the Lord's judgment. The Lord's judgment was to take the blasphemer outside the camp. The witnesses were to put hands on his head. And the entire assembly is to stone him, which they did. And to blaspheme the name of the Lord must be put to death. So, that covered that. Was another example. The discipline to Nadab and Abihu, and the discipline here, is done early. And that's to make an example. Make an example. Other priests would not be perfect in their performance of their duties. The Nadab and Abihu were given as an example, and the blasphemer here is given as an example, so people know that this is serious business. They're to do what they're supposed to do without excuse. Numbers 9, 1 through 5. We had the tabernacle set up on the first day of the first month in the second year. Talked about that. The priests were consecrated for 8 days after that. The princes made their offerings the first 8 days and four more. So that brings us about to the 13th of the month. Now, the Passover, the Lord reminds Moses that the Israelites will celebrate Passover on the twilight of the 14th day. So they've got to get ready for the Passover. And that's a reminder. And they did. Some couldn't partake of the Passover because they had handled dead. With this many people, remember how many men we talked about, over 603,000. Well, you got women and children. You got animals that will be dying of that crowd every day. I mean, it's just the way it is. So somebody's got to take care of the dead. And then when you did, you were unclean. So there were some who could not partake of the Passover because they were unclean. How were they to handle it? So they asked Moses and Aaron, should they eat the Passover meal at this time or skip it or just not do it at all? Moses doesn't know the answer at this time, so he inquires of the Lord. And the Lord's answer is an Israelite, unclean from dealing with the dead or away on a trip, on a journey, may eat the Passover 1 month later. If they fail to observe the Passover, they're to be cut off. You know, they have a reason not to, but they can't use it as an excuse. I mean, they could do it 1 month later, but they were to do it. Either when it was supposed to be done, but they couldn't then the month later, so. An alien or foreigner may celebrate Passover in accordance with all the rules and regulations. So if you had a visitor come in and was among you, they could celebrate Passover if they followed the same rules and regulations of the Lord. Now, that's all the material I want to cover, but I wanted to review. But to review what we just talked about for the last three lessons, about what is required for the tabernacle, what is required for the high priest, what they had to do, what they had to get together, remember all these offerings, all these animals that had to be killed, had to be slain. How much work that was. Moses did the most of it for those 7 days. And there was so much more that had to be done. All the bloodletting, all the cleaning up, all the loss of life. Review. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews 9, we find the significance of all this. I've asked five of our gentlemen to read, think on these things.